Today's daf is Shabbos daf Yud Ches, and we are 10 lines from the bottom of daf Yud Ches Amid Beis, Beishamai Oimrim, Eim Moichrin. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Tzara Lisa. So yesterday, we began a new topic, and it began with the Mishnah on daf Yud Zayin Amid Beis. The Mishnah mentioned several machlokeses between Beishamai and Beis Hillel. And really, the Mishnah can be divided into two groups. The first part of the Mishnah was the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, where if somebody starts doing a Malacha Erev Shabbos, where the effect of the Malacha is going to continue into Shabbos. Is that Aser or is that not Aser? Beis Shammai says it's Aser. Beis Hillel says it's not Aser. After a discussion in the Gemara came out that the Hezber in the Machlokes is Beis Shammai holds Shvisas Kelim is Aser, Beis Hillel holds Shvisas Kelim is not Aser. Meaning, we know a Yid is not allowed to do Malacha on Shabbos. His family can't do Malacha, even his Ketanim, his Chamor, his Shor, his Avodim are not allowed to do Malacha on Shabbos. What about a person's Kelim? Can a person's Kelim do Malacha on Shabbos? Or can a person's Kelim not do a Malacha on Shabbos? Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says Shvisas Kelim is Aser. Beis Hillel says Shvisas Kelim is not Aser. According to Beis Shammai, it's an Issa D'Oraisa. According to Beis Hillel, it's not even an Issa D'Rabbanan. What's the Makar? Shabbos Daf Yud Ches, the sugi that we learned yesterday. The Gemara now is going to turn its attention from the Reisha of the Mishnah to the Seifa of the Mishnah. The Seifa of the Mishnah discussed a halacha where how one can interact with a non-Jew before Shabbos. Beis Shammai said, "Ein moichrin l'nachri." You're not allowed to sell something to a nachri before Shabbos. Ve'ein toyan imay. Nor are you allowed to help load his animal before Shabbos. Ve'ein magbiyan olav. You're not allowed to put a load on his shoulders before Shabbos. Ela kadeshi agil l'makom karav. Unless the place that this non-Jew is going to is so close that he'll arrive at his destination before Shabbos. But if the non-Jew is going to continue to travel on Shabbos, even though he's not doing anything wrong, he doesn't have any obligation to observe Shabbos. Still, the halach is it would be aser. Beis Hillel matirim. Beis Hillel in the Mishnah said that it's going to be okay. Now, what's pshat in Beis Shammai? Pshat in Beis Shammai is because Beis Shammai is concerned that if you're going to give something, even if you sold it to him, a non-Jew before Shabbos, and he's going to be traveling with it on Shabbos, it looks a little bit like maybe you asked him to carry something for you on Shabbos. To ask a Jew to do a malacha for you on Shabbos is aser. Albeit midirabbanon, it's a shvus, it's what's known as amir la'akum, and amir la'akum is aser. So Beis Shammai says it looks a little like amir la'akum, even though it's not amir la'akum, but it looks like it, as a result, don't do it. Beis Hillel says it's okay, according to Beis Hillel, there's no issue. So the Gemara is going to bring now a whole series of braises that are going to expand on some level on this machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And the truth is, there are many nuances in the braises that we're going to learn now. Really, it's beyond the scope of a daf yoimisher to be able to properly go through every nuance in the braises that we are going to learn, so we'll just do what we do. Says the Gemara, Beis Shammai Yemir Mei Moichrim, Tanu Rabbanan, Beis Shammai Yemir, Beis Shammai says, Lo Yimker Adam Chafetzei L'Nachri. You're not allowed to sell something to a non-Jew. This, of course, is Erev Shabbos. V'lo Yashilenu, you're not allowed to lend him something. V'lo Yalvenu, you can't lend him money. V'lo Yitin Lebe Matani, you can't give him something as a gift. Ela Kadeshi Yagir L'Beisei. Unless this non-Jew has enough time to take what it is you either sold him or loaned him or gave him as a gift and arrive at his house before Shabbos. If, however, he's going to be traveling with it on Shabbos, it's going to be also this Beis Shammai in the Braisa is the same Beis Shammai as the Mishnah that we just spoke out. Beis Hillel Oimrim, Beis Hillel says, Kadeshi Agil Abayis Hasamuch L'Chayma. Meaning in the Mishnah, Beis Hillel just said, Mutter. In the Braisa, Beis Hillel is a little bit more specific. Beis Hillel says that it's not unequivocally Mutter, but rather, if the non-Jew has enough time to get into the city that he lives in, even if he can only get to the first house closest to the wall of the city, but he doesn't have enough time to arrive at his personal house, that would be okay. So whereas Beis Shammai requires there to be enough time for the non-Jew to arrive at his home, according to Beis Hillel, it's enough that he can arrive at the city that he lives in. And the point Rashi says is, because Beis Hillel holds, as long as he can get to his city, at that point you could always assume that maybe he'll put it down. If he'll put it down, he'll never get to the point where he's carrying this object that's the Jews, or was once the Jews, on Shabbos, and as a result, you don't have this marisai, and it doesn't necessarily look like Amir la'ak. Rabbi Kiva says Kedesh yetzim mipesach beis. Rabbi Kiva says no, he doesn't even have to have that much time. Meaning, as long as you gave it to the non-Jew, and there was enough time for him to walk outside of your house before Shabbos, even 1 minute before Shkia, that would be enough. I'm Rabbi Yis, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yis, Rabbi Yehuda said, Hein divri Rabbi Akiva, Hein divri beisil. That at first glance, when you read the Brice, it sounds like there's three shittas: Beishamai, Beisilil, and Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Yis, Rabbi Yehuda came to clarify and said, no, that's not what's going on here. What's going on here is Rabbi Akiva was explaining shittas beisil, meaning Leibor Rabbi Akiva, Elo lefarish divri beisil. So there are three shittas, but it's not Beishamai, Beisilil, and Rabbi Akiva, but rather it's Beishamai. And then two shittas had to understand Beisil. The Tanakhama understood Beisil, that even Beisil agrees there has to be enough time for the non-Jew to at the very least enter the city limits of where it is that he lives. And it was on that Rabbi Akiva came and he said, no, that as long as he has enough time to be Yotzami Pesach Beisil before Shabbos, that in and of itself would be enough. Regardless, we have a Beishamai shita, which is consistent to what Beishamai said in the Mishnah. Beishamai is very, very machmer when it comes to transacting with an Eini Yehudi close to Shabbos. Beisil in the Mishnah just said mutter. What exactly mutter means? So we see now in the Braisa that really there's two shittas in what the definition of mutter is. Tana Rabbanon, Beishamai says, and this is a very big chiddush, La'yimker adam chametzoy l'nachri. You're not allowed to sell your chametz to a non-Jew. Elam ken yodeya boi sheyich l'koydim ha-pesach. So you want to sell chametz, you have a grocery store and you want to sell chametz to a non-Jew. If you don't know for sure that the non-Jew is going to consume the chametz that he just bought from you before Pesach, you're not allowed to sell it to him, which is the exact opposite of what we do. When we don't want to consume our chametz before Pesach, we precisely sell it to a non-Jew. But we obviously don't follow Beishamai. Beishamai had an unbelievable chiddush. They held that you're not allowed to sell chametz to a non-Jew if he's going to have that chametz around on Shabbos, some sort of maris ayin issue. Beisil argues, and they hold no. There's no such halacha. If you can eat the chametz, you can sell the chametz. You know when you can't sell chametz anymore? Once you can't eat it. But when you sell the chametz, you don't have to take into consideration what the non-Jew will or won't do with the chametz. He can keep your chametz around over Pesach. You can't keep your chametz around over Pesach. But once you sell it to him, what's the problem? Rabbi Yehuda says, Kutach HaBavli of Mesachtes Chulin fame, of Mesachtes Brachas fame. So what exactly was Kutach HaBavli? So Kutach was a dip of some sorts that was diri. So very often when the Chachama wanted to talk about a diri food, they used Kutach HaBavli as their example. But what else was unique of Kutach HaBavli was that it had chametz inside of it. In fact, the Gemara in Masechtas Brachos and Perikates and Mevarchim spoke about the unique type of bread that's Kutach HaBavli as it relates to Hilchos Brachos. But the point is that Kutach HaBavli was chametz. So Rabbi Yehuda said that as it relates to this Kutach HaBavli, v'chol mine kutach, and all types of kutach for that matter, also limkol lam yom kaidim haPesach, it's also to sell to a non-Jew 30 days before Pesach. And the reason is because Rabbi Yehuda held like Beishamai, that it's usher to sell chametz to a non-Jew if the non-Jew is going to have his chametz lying around on Pesach. Now, Kutach HaBavli, people used to keep around for 30 days. It was a dip that was made sour, so I guess it couldn't go too bad from where it was in its natural state. So people had it for a very long time. People kept it sometimes for 30 days. So being that he held like Beishamai, that you're not allowed to sell chametz to a non-Jew if the non-Jew is going to have his chametz around on Pesach. And how long do people keep Kutach HaBavli around? For 30 days? So you have to sell it at least, you have to sell it at least 30 days before. But within 30 days, at that point, it's already going to be awesome. Now, it's interesting. It comes out that Rabbi Yehuda seemed to be machmer like Beishamai, which mirrors what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel did in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, as it relates to giving clothing to the dry cleaning, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel used to give the white clothing 3 days before Shabbos because it takes 3 days to clean white clothing, and that, if you remember, was all Beshitas Beishamai. See, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in the Mishnah was going like Beishamai. You have the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Loi is going like Beishamai, and for some reason, the Gemara has no issue with it. Yet in Masechtas Brachos, when Rabbi Tarfon went like Beishamai and others, we had big problems with it. So again, not for today, but just something to keep in mind. Zakhtigamar Tanur Rabban and another Bryce. So again, this is all me inyan le inyan, but oisa inyan. You're allowed to feed a dog on Shabbos, bechatzah, as long as it's in a chatzah. Meaning, chatzah is a reshus hayachid, so you're not carrying, there's no hitzah, so you can feed the dog. Not leave a yatzah. What if the dog takes the food and he took it out to a reshus harabim? In his kokula, you don't have to stop him. Meaning, he has a mind of his own, the dog does, and if he wants to take the food into a reshus harabim, you have no way of stopping him. Kayoitzah boy. The same is true with regards to a non-Jew. You're allowed to feed a non-Jew bechatzah, not leave a yatzah. And if he takes it by himself in this kokula, it's not going to be an issue. Says the Gemara Hasulamli, why do I need the same halacha by a kelev and the same halacha by a nachri, isn't it redundant? Hai nuhach, the Gemara says, no, I would have thought, hai rami oleh, v'hai loy rami oleh. Maybe it's mutter with a kelev because you have an obligation to feed your dog, but you don't have an obligation to feed the nachri. So maybe in the case of the nachri, it wouldn't be okay, kamash malon. That's the chiddush, that it's okay by a kelev, it's okay by a nachri. In other words, there's two chiddushim in this halacha. When we say that you're allowed to feed a kelev and a chatzar, and you're allowed to feed a nachri in the chatzar, we're saying two things. Number one, you're allowed to feed the kelev. You're allowed to feed the nachri. Why would you think not? Maybe it's an unnecessary tircha. An unnecessary tircha maybe is not okay to do on Shabbos. So, kamash malon chiddush number one, that it's okay to feed the kelev, it's okay to feed the nachri. Don't worry about the fact that maybe it's an unnecessary tircha. The second chiddush is, why are you concerned that the nachri is going to take the food and he's going to bring it into a rishos harabim? Why are you afraid that the kelev's going to take the food and he's going to bring it into a rishos harabim? That's the second chiddush, that's not something we're concerned with either. The reason we needed to speak out the chiddush by kelev and the chiddush by nachri was for chiddush number one. I would have thought maybe not allowed even to feed a nachri in the first place. Kamash malon, that you are allowed to feed a nachri, even though you don't have the obligation to, but you're allowed to, and it's not aser. Mishum tircha yisei ran Shabbos. Tanu rabbanu. Le'yaskir adam kelev l'nachri. You're not allowed to rent your kelim to a nachri be'erev Shabbos. So you're not allowed to rent your kelim to a nachri erev Shabbos, assuming that the Nachri is going to take your kelim and he's going to use it on Shabbos. Now, Tosfos speaks out right away that really we only need this braisa according to Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai holds Shvisas kelim as aser. So if I can't do work with my keli, or if my keli can't do work on its own when it's in my possession, the same would be true if I rented it to a non-Jew. I can't just rent my kelim. If he's going to do work with it, of course it would be aser. The Chiddush is even according to Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel holds Shvisas kelim as mutter. Still, there's a new halacha of Layaskir Adam Kelev Lenachri Be'erev Shabbos. And the reason is, there's a Marisayan issue. It looks like you're doing business on Shabbos. And being that it looks like you're doing business on Shabbos, that's the issue. Meaning, even if really there is no problem of Schar Shabbos, it's Bahavla. Let's say you're doing it in a way where there's no real issue of Schar Shabbos. But being that at the end of the day, it looks like it is Erev Shabbos, you're renting a Keli to a Nachri. Even if you did it Bahavla, the halach is it's going to be Yasser. Even according to Beis Hillel, that holds that Shvisas Kelim is Mutter. But Wednesday and Thursday Mutter. Meaning, even though Wednesday and Thursday is already close to Shabbos, as we're going to see later, but this halacha wouldn't apply. You're not allowed to pay a non-Jew to deliver a letter for you on Erev Shabbos, because the assumption is he's going to be carrying it on Shabbos. But on Wednesday and Thursday, even though, again, it's close to Erev Shabbos, and you're already thinking in terms of Shabbos Wednesday and Thursday, but this halacha is not going to be true. All of they say, some say, that he was very, very makbid, and he used to be careful to make sure that a non-Jew never held any of his ksavyad. He would never give a letter to a non-Jew, because he was always afraid that the non-Jew may go and deliver it on Shabbos. Incidentally, so Amru all about Rabbi Yossi Akoye, and some say Rabbi Yossi HaChassid. So who was Rabbi Yossi Akoye? Rabbi Yossi Akoye is actually mentioned in a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says that Rabbi Yechem and Zakeh had five Talmidim. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkinis, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, one of the five Talmidim, one of the lesser known of Rabbi Yechem and Zakeh's five prized Talmidim, Talmidei Mufakim, was Rabbi Yossi Akoye. Now, Bar Benel wrote a sefer called Nachlas Avos on Pirkei Avos. And on that Mishnah, the Abar Benel says, that I don't know for sure, but I think that Rabbi Yossi HaKoyen, who was one of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's five prize Talmidim, was none other than Yosifon, Josephus. That's his theory, and this is coming from the Abar Benel, who, in addition to being a guy in Olam, was also a great historian. So the Abar Benel's Li Nira is very, very valuable from a historical perspective. Imagine Rabbi Yossi HaKoyin, the great chassid, was Josephus. Interesting. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, Eim Meshalchen Igeres B'Anochim. So we just mentioned this halacha, that you now let us send letters through a non-Jew on Shabbos. So the Gemara is going to expand on this topic a little bit. Says the Gemara, see, now let us sell any geres with a nachi erev Shabbos elam king koitz leidamin, unless you set a price. Meaning, if you're paying the non-Jew by the hour, so then the halacha is you're not allowed to do it. However, if you are koitz leidamin, meaning you're paying him for the item that he's delivering, in that case, it's going to be okay. V'shamay Omer ben Shamay says kadeshi agil lebeisoy, that he has to have enough time if you're going to give him the letter to deliver to arrive at his home. Meaning, deliver the letter and then, or get home before Shabbos. Beisul says, "Kadesh Yabia the Bayis has Samach L'Chaima." Beisul says, "No, as long as he has enough time to get to the house that's closest to the Chaima." Similar to what Beisul said, according to the Tanakam in the first Brisa that we started the daf with, that would be okay. Says the Gemara, "I don't understand this Brisa." Again, the Brisa like this: "Ein Mishalchi Nigeres Biyad Nachri." Erev Shabbos, Elam King Kotzatz Leidavim. And then we have a machlokes between Bishamay and Bezil. Bishamay says, Kadesh Yagila Beisoy. Bezil says, Kadesh Yagila Bayis Hasalmach Lechem. And the Gemara is bothered, just to speak it outside first, that there seems to be a contradiction between the Reisha of the Braisa and the Seif of the Braisa. The Reisha of the Braisa seems to say that what matters in was it Kotzatz Leidavim or was it like Kotzatz Leidavim? And then from the Seif of the Braisa, what it seems like is that what matters is not Kotzatz Leidavim or like Kotzatz Leidavim, but rather does he have enough time to get home or does he have enough time to get to the Bayis HaSalmach L'Chaim? So the Gemara asks, as it relates to the Seif of Aloy Kotzatz, in the Reisha you made it sound like as long as he's Kotzatz Leidavim, he's paying him for the item that he's delivering, nothing else matters. And then you're telling me, no, he has to get home or to the Bayis HaSalmach L'Chaim. The way you read the Braisa is like this. If you're katzatz leidamim, then it's all good. No worries. If it was like katzatz leidamim, then you have the machloek. Is the shama yoyim rematch yegi lebeisoy? Or beisul leimim rematch yegi lebeis hasamach l'chaim? But the Gemara says, I'm still not satisfied, because va'amrit reisha ein mishalchin. From the reisha, it sounded like, ein mishalchin igeres biad nachri erev Shabbos elim kein katzatz leidamim. Meaning, it sounds like if he wasn't katzatz leidamim, it is 100% unequivocally yasser. And then you tell me, no, not so fast. In Meshalchin, only if he doesn't have enough time. In Meshalchin seems very, very inclusive. So how do you go from in Meshalchin to suddenly a machloikis bisham and yisilu when you are allowed to be Meshalech? If it's in Meshalchin, then it should be in Meshalchin. The Gemara says, Loi kasha, had the kaviyah beidoyar b'masa, v'hadoloi kaviyah beidoyar b'masa. What depends on is whether or not there's a beidoyar. So beidoyar, usually you think of the postage. But in this case, there was a person that when someone wanted to deliver a letter into a city, say he would deliver it by, he would drop it off by the Beit Dayar, that's where it would go, and then the Beit Dayar would distribute it. He would take it from wherever it needed to go. So if there's a Beit Dayar in the Masa, so in that case, it's going to be okay. And that's when sometimes it would be fine. If there's no Beit Dayar in the Masa, then we're concerned that even if the person has enough time technically to get home, or he has enough time to get it to the Bayis HaSamach L'Chaima, but we're concerned that maybe the person that he needs to deliver the letter to, he won't have the opportunity to deliver it right away, and he's going to end up going on Shabbos and delivering it. And that's why we say Ein Meshalchin. Meaning, the whole idea of him having enough time to get home is that he'll take care of it right away. But what if he won't have the ability to take care of it right away? Practically, what if the person's not home? Maybe he doesn't have a mailbox that he could just drop it off in. So if there's a Beit Dayar, so you have the proverbial mailbox, so you have where to drop it off, as long as he has enough time to get home before Shabbos, this is not going to be an issue. If, however, there's no Beit Dayar in the Masa, so then we don't care if he has enough time to get home before Shabbos, because maybe the opportunity to drop it off won't be available before Shabbos, and he'll have to go out a second time on Shabbos. And there, the halacha is a Meshalchin. Again, a little bit of a technical halacha, something that requires a little bit more time, but this is one of the nuances that we said earlier. We don't really have a chance to get to. Says the Gemara Vayter, Tanu Rabban, Ema Fligin Bisfina, Pachas Migimul Yamin. This next Gemara is very important. It's a classic and it's going to be the subject of the raid at the end of the day. So the halacha is that you're not allowed to go on a boat less than 3 days before Shabbos. The Medvar Mamur, when is this true? Ledvar Rishos. That's if your reason you're going on a boat, it's for Ledvar Rishos. Aval Ledvar Mitzvah, let's say you're going to do a mitzvah, Shapar Dami, then it's okay. However, if you're going Ledvar Mitzvah, still you have to read the fine print. Upaisegimai, you should try to arrange with the captain of the ship, Almanas Lishbois, that he'll take a break on Shabbos. And if he ends up not resting, it's fine. You try your best. Shimon Gamliel says, Ein Tzarch, you don't even have to do that. Umitzar Letzidon, let's say you want to go on a short trip. You're going from Tzar to Tzidon, that was a one-day trip. I feel about Erev Shabbos Mutter. Then it'd be Mutter even to go on Erev Shabbos. Bottom line is, you're not allowed to go on a boat within 3 days before Shabbos. that only says the Gemara if you're going with Dvar Rishos. But if you're going with Dvar Mitzvah, then it's going to be okay. Now, what's the reason Ema Fligim Besfina Pachas Migimul Yamim? And what's the difference between a Dvar Rishos and a Dvar Mitzvah? So there's a lot to talk about. We'll save that for the end of the Daf. Tana Rabbanan Ain't Tzaren Alayari Shal Nachrim Pachas Migimul Yamim Koydim L'Shabbos. If the Yidden ever felt that they had attacked a city of a non-Jew, so they wouldn't go Erev within 3 days before Shabbos, because it almost implied that you would end up being fighting on Shabbos. And what's the point in fighting on Shabbos? If they started, meaning you're not going to stop a fight, and even if they started, see, you really shouldn't start a siege on another city within a few days before Shabbos. Let's say they started on Thursday, so it's Friday morning, you don't stop. No, you continue even on Shabbos. Shammai used to say, Ad ridita afilu b'Shabbos. He's referring to a pasuk in Parashat Shoftim. It says, Rak eitz asher teda ki lo yeitz machal, hu oises ashris v'charatu v'nisa matzer alo ir, asher hi oise imcha milchama ad ridita. That if you're ever fighting, you're ever involved in Vanisa Matzar Aloir, Asher Yoise Imcham Bulchama, you should go ad ridita, you should go all the way till the end, never stop a fight. Even if it's not Pekuach Nefesh, if it's Pekuach Nefesh, then it's obvious, you do what you have to do. Even if it's not Pekuach Nefesh, there's an idea of ad ridita. Amr Rav Shimon Gamliel, no, you can have it. So going back to the Mishnah, so the Mishnah discussed another machloikis between the Sham Yisrael, and that is, are you allowed to take clothing, give it to a non-Jewish dry cleaners, if the dry cleaners doesn't have enough time to clean the clothing before Shabbos? According to Bishamay, it's not okay. Bishol says you can drop it off 5 seconds before Shkia, that would be okay. Then Rav Shimon Gamliel said that our family, we used to be noyag like Bishamay. Not just that, when we had white clothing to give to the cleaners, we were so machmer that we would give it 3 days before Shabbos. And the reason is because it takes 3 days to clean white clothing. That was the minhag of Rabbi Gamliel's family. They used to give their clothing 3 days before Shabbos, only the white clothing, but the colored clothing even Erev Shabbos. And from the minhag of Rabbi Gamliel's family, we learned something very obvious, and that is Shalavenim Goshem. That it's more complicated to clean white clothing than it is colored clothing. Abaya says the Gemara that note. So he once gave a colored beged to the cleaners. Amale. So the Rabbi told the cleaners, Kama boyasi love. He says, how much money do you want to clean this beged? Amale. So he told him, I'm going to charge you kidachivra. The same price that I've been charging you for all your white clothing, that's what I'm going to charge you for your color clothing. Amalei, Abaya told him, you're not going to fool me. Kvar kadmucha rabbanon. No, you can't charge me for a colored beged what you charge me for a white beged. I know it's much harder to clean a white beged. How do I know that? It's a Mishnah. Shabbos Daf Yud Ches. This was the minig of Rabbi Gamliel's family. As a result, he told him, Kvar kadmucha rabbanon. You can learn everything from Chazal. Hafoichba the kulaba. Amar Abaya. Abaya said on that note, Hayman deyom manal katsro. If someone gives a beged to a cleaners, so you shouldn't just trust them. But Mishcha Nesavle, you should measure your beged before you give it to him. Then when you take it back, you should measure it again. Why? You want to make sure, you want to make sure that if the beged got bigger, that means he was mafsid it, the cleaners was, the matche, he must have stretched it. The ibatzer, and if you come back and it's shrunk, it's a different size, smaller, absidei the kapte. Obviously, that means that he shrunk it. I guess after this first story, this exchange that Abaya had with the cleaners, he stopped trusting them. So he told them that, you know, one takeaway from this is that, you know, in the future, you may want to make sure that the cleaners isn't doing something with your clothing. So he said, just take a good look at it before you give it to him. And take another good look at it when you get it back, just to make sure it's the same beged, says the Gemara, v'shavin elu ve'elu. Then the Mishnah said one final halacha, and that is that even though we had in the ratio of the Mishnah, so going back to yesterday's da, the ratio of the Mishnah, machloik is between b'shamah and b'shilol, with regards to shvisas kelim mutter, shvisas kelim azaser, but they both agree, shetoyanim koyres beis abad v'igulei agas. Meaning, there were a whole bunch of points of dispute between b'shamah and b'shilol. In shayrin d'yoyev saman v'karshinin, Besel Matirin, ein noisten unen shal pishon lo techatanor. Besel Matirin, ein noisten semeli yoyre. Besel Matirin, ein parsim mitzudas chayva oifes v'dagim. Besel Matirin. And we said it's negeya, the malachas of lush, the malachas of tzoyveya, of tzad. of Malabin, stating that the end of the Mishnah said, Veshavin Elu Ve'elu, Beshamin Bezol, both agree, meaning there's no machloikis over there. Even Beshamai agrees. Shetoyan and Kuris Beisabad Viguli Aga. So what's the Metzias first? The Metzias is that you're in the process of making wine, you're crushing grapes, you're in the process of making oil, you're crushing olives. So after you crush the grapes, what they used to do is they would leave the wine press. So whatever it was that would crush the grapes, they would leave that on top of the grapes. So like this, the juices would flow out seamlessly. Now, the truth is that once they crush the grapes, even if they didn't leave the wine press operating, the wine would eventually flow out anyways because the crushing was already done, but it would take a little bit longer. So to expedite the process, they would leave the beams, the press, on top of the grapes. It's like this, it would flow out a little bit more smoothly. The same is true regarding the olives. Says the Mishnah, Beisham Beisol, both agree that you're allowed to let the Beis Abad and you're allowed to let the wine press going Erev Shabbos, even though it's going to continue into Shabbos. Again, the Chiddush is Beis Shammai. Beis Sol doesn't hold a Shvisas Kalim. So according to Beis Sol, this is a moot point. It's no different than all the other things Beis Sol allows you to do. The Chiddush is that Beis Shammai holds Shvisas Kalim, and he holds it in a Sedei Raisa. This, however, Beis Shammai says, is going to be okay. Says the Gemara, Maishno kulu de gazrubu Beis Shammai. Maishno kairis Beis Abad v'gulei agas deloi gazru. What's the difference between the two halachas? Why is it that Beis Shammai in the beginning of the Mishnah said, asa, 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 and then all of a sudden the shavin, this is somehow mutter. So the Gemara says, Hanoch, everything in the Reisha, the Yavadu, Beis Shabbos, if somebody would do it on Shabbos, Mechayiv Chatas, he'd be over Chil Shabbos, Dei Reisa, gazru Beis Shammai, Erev Shabbos, Im Chashaychas. And there Beis Shammai said, Erev Shabbos, Im Chashaychas, it's going to be a problem. Kairis Beis Abad v'gulei agas. However, as it relates to these things, the avodu b'Shabbos loy mechayiv chatas. If you would do it on Shabbos, you wouldn't be over chil Shabbos deiraisa loy gozru. So therefore, Beis Shammai said it's not going to be a problem. Now, just one diak. The lashon haGemara is that all the cases that Beis Shammai said is a problem were cases where if you would do it on Shabbos, you'd be over chil Shabbos deiraisa. The seifa of the Mishnah, the Koyres Beis Abad, and the Igulei Agas, these things, being that we're not dealing with an Issa Deiraisa, so therefore Beis Shammai said it's going to be multiple. What was the Gemara's Lashon? The Gemara's Lashon was, Hanuch di Avadu b'Shabbos Mechayiv Chatos, Gozru b'hu Beis Shammai. Whereas the Sefer, where if you would do it on Shabbos, lo Mechayiv Chatos, loy Gozru. Gozru? Beis Shammai's Halacha is a Gzeira? Ado Beis Shammai's Halacha is Shvisas Kelim. Shvisas Kelim is a Deiraisa. He learned it from a pasuk. U'b'choy l'asher amarti aleichan tishomeru l'rabbe Shvisas Kelim. Shvisas Kelim, according to Beis Shammai, is an Issa Deiraisa. It's not an Issa Derabanan. So if it's an Issa Deiraisa, why does the Gemara say Gozru? I am Berishoyna. But either way, that's what the Gemara says. Says the Gemara, man Tana, who's the Tana that holds? The chol midi da'asim emeilu shapadami. Meaning implied from the last line of the Mishnah is that if after you crush the grapes and you crush the olives, you leave the wine press and you leave the Beis Abad, and the oil and the wine continues to ooze out, you would only be over Nisid Rabban. I mean, if you did it on Shabbos, you'd be over Nisid Rabban. The reason probably is because it was going to happen anyways. You're saying a chiddush, in other words. You're saying that even though what you're doing technically should be a malacha, but being that it was going to happen without you, all you did was expedite the process, that doesn't constitute a malacha. Now, which malacha would this be? It'd be the malacha of Mefarik, which is a toldah of dash. Right? You're taking one thing from another. That's essentially what you're doing. You're taking the wine from the grapes. You're taking the oil from the olives. So you're saying the chiddush, that dash and mefarik is not aser midday raisa, if the thing that you removed was memela going to move regardless. The chom midi da asi memela shapidami. Now, not shapidami, In a vacuum, but shapidami on a deiraisa level, says the Gemara. Who's the Tana that holds that? Amr Abiyas, Reb Chani, Reb Shmuel is Reb Shmuel. Time we go into the Mishnah. Hashum, garlic, vaboyser, unripened grapes, vahamalilois, unripened grains, shariska meboyoyim, in the event that you crushed it on Erev Shabbos. Reb Shmuel says, Yigma mishatechshach. Whatever it was that you used to crush it, you can leave that crusher on top of the aforementioned things on Shabbos. Let it continue to crush. Rabbi Akiva, Oimer, lo Yigmar. Rabbi Akiva says, It's not okay. What's that beer in the machlokes? Rabbi Akiva probably holds that at the end of the day, you can't keep it there because we're dealing with a case of Chil Shabbos Deiraisa. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel holds it's not a case of Chil Shabbos Deiraisa. Why? Because it's going to happen anyways. Rabbi Shmuel holds expediting something doesn't constitute Chil Shabbos Deiraisa. Whereas Rabbi Akiva holds expediting something does constitute Chil Shabbos Deiraisa. If in our Mishnah it's Mavur that expediting something that's going to happen anyways is not Mefarik, it's not Dashma Deiraisa. So who's the Tana? Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Chanina must be going according to Rabbi Shmuel. That is one obvious problem with this pshat. which Tosfos already asks and all the Rishonim talk about. This machloikis Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva sounds like is Aliba de Beis Shammai. Because Rabbi Akiva says, lo yigmar. Why lo yigmar? Because you're dealing with Dairaisa. Okay, Shvisas Kalim. Okay, that's Beis Shammai. According to Beis Hill, this was all Mutter anyways. Remember, Vishavin was only Negeya Beis Shammai. We said that even Beis Shammai that holds a Shvisas Kalim, Beis Shammai who said in the Reisha of the Mishnah, Asar, 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 every Asar box Beis Shammai checked off in the Mishnah. Vishavin, this is Mutter. So this is all a chiddush in Beis Shammai. So why is Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva having this machloikis? They're discussing, is this an Issa Deraisa? Is it an Issa Derabanan? As a result, can I yet do it on Shabbos? Can I not do it on Shabbos? I mean, do it Erev Shabbos where it's going to continue into Shabbos. According to Beis Hillel, shouldn't this be a moot point? Anyways, either way, I am Baruch Shain. Rabbi Lozer said that Rabbi Lozer, the Amoira, says Rashi, who was Rabbi Lozer ben Padas, said that it's Rabbi Lozer the Tana, Rabbi Lozer ben Shemua, and that's the Tana of this Mishnah. He's the one that holds that Dosh and Mefarik is only on the Deraisa level if it's not something that is going to be removed Memela. But the extent that it's going to be removed Memela, it wouldn't be an Issa Deraisa. Who's this Rabbi Lozer? The Tanan. We learned in a Mishnah, Chalis Devash, honeycombs, Shariskon, that were broken up Erev Shabbos, V'yatzu Me'atzman, and now the honey is coming out by itself on Shabbos. Also, you're not allowed to have anah from it. Rabbi Lozer, not the Rabbi Lozer says you are allowed to have anah from it. So again, here you're not doing anything on Shabbos. You have this Chalis Devash that you chopped up Erev Shabbos, and now on Shabbos, honey is oozing out. The question is, could I now benefit from this honey on Shabbos, or can I not benefit from it on Shabbos? Tanakhama says you can't. You know why? He's concerned that you may cause more honey to go out. Rabbi Lozer says, Mater. Rabbi Lozer says, I'm not worried about that. Says, what must be the Shiloh? Tanakhama probably holds that if you would cause the honey to come out on Shabbos, you'd be over Mefarik Midoy Raisa. Rabbi Lozer probably holds you'd only be over Mefarik Midrabban. What's the Shiloh? Is it Mefarik or is it not Mefarik? Says the Gemara Geshmak. The honey's coming out Memela. If you now caused it to go out, all you would be doing is be expediting the process. If all you're doing is expediting it, then is that an Issa Deraisa? Is that not an Issa Deraisa? It sounds like a machloek between the Tanakam and Rabbi Lozer. So said Rabbi Lozer the Amir. You want to know who the Tana, the Mishnah that holds? That there's no Mefarik Midereis if all you do is expedite? It's Rabbi Lozer the Tana, says the Gemara. So we have two shitas. Rabbi Chanina said it's Rabbi Yishmael. In that machloek is Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Lozer said it's Rabbi Lozer. In the machloek is Tanakam and Rabbi Lozer regarding the Chalas Tvash. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yishmael, Chanina, my time, Lemek Rabbi Lozer. So why would Rabbi Chanina say that it's going according to Rabbi Shmuel? Why couldn't he also say it's going according to Rabbi Lozer? Meaning, it sounds like the Amoraim scanned Shas and they found two Tanoim that the Mishnah would seem to be consistent with. This you said that Dasha Mefarik Midereis is only if it wasn't going to come out b'memela. But if it was going to come out b'memela, it wouldn't be Dasha Mefarik Midereis. You have a Rabbi Shmuel who seems to say it, and you have a Rabbi Lozer that seems to say it. So why did Rabbi Yisrael Chanina say it's Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Lozer said it's Rabbi Lozer? They both should have agreed that it could be either one of the two Tanoim. So the Gemara says, Amalach, no, Rabbi Yisrael Chanina maybe held that it's not necessarily Rabbi Lozer. Because could be there's a difference between the two cases. Hasam over there, who the Mikara Oichel B'Soy Veichel. There, the Mefarik is, you have the honey, which is part of the honeycomb, and now the honey is removing itself from the honeycombs. When the honey is in the honeycomb, we see an oichel. When the honey is removed from the honeycomb, we see an oichel. So it's going from one state of oichel to another state of oichel. Maybe over there, Rabbi Lozer held that it's not asa midereisa. Oichel mitoich oichel, where it's happening memela. Maybe that's where you don't have this halacha. However, over here, hacha meikara oichel v'hashna mashka. But here, where you're taking wine from grapes, you're taking oil from olives, so you're going from oichel, you're creating mashka. Maybe here it's different. Rabbi Lozer says that the reason he held that it is Rabbi Lozer is because Hashemino led Rabbi Lozer that filled the zaysev anav and nami shari, because he had a brisa where the brisa was mavur mafurish that Rabbi Lozer that was matter in the case of the honeycomb. He didn't only say by honeycomb where it's oichel and oichel. He said it specifically by grapes and by olives where it's mashka mitoich oichel. Daki also Rav Hishaya min ardo also vaysi masi zaviyodim. Rav Hishaya came in ardo. He brought a brisa with him. Zaysev anavim shariska me'erav shabbos. Zaysev anavim that somebody ground before Shabbos, the yotzim yatzman, and now the oil and the wine is flowing by itself. Asur and Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon Matir, it's the same Rabbi Lozer. Rabbi Lozer said it's mutter. Why is it mutter? Because even if you would crush it on Shabbos, it would only be an Issa D'Rabbanan, even though there it's Mashke Mitoich Eichel. So because he had this Brisa, Rabbi Lozer, that he knew Rabbi Lozer was never Mechalik between Eichel and Eichel, Mashke and Eichel, that's why he said his Aloch over here also. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, why did Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina say that? Because Brisa Lishmi, he didn't know the Brisa. Says in Rabbi Lozer, my time, Lomach Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. Why did Rabbi Lozer know Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina? Why couldn't he say that who's the Tana? It's Rabbi Yishmael. Again, who is Rabbi Yishmael? Hashum v'haboyser v'hamaliloi shariskim v'vayoy. Yeah, garlic, unripened grains, unripened grapes that you crushed before Shabbos. The question is, yigmer mishatechshach or lo yigmer mishatechshach? Rabbi Yishmael said, yigmer mishatechshach. You're allowed to leave it on this crusher on top of these items, even on Shabbos. Why? Seemingly going according to Beishamai must be because it's only an Issa Drabanan, because whatever was supposed to happen is going to happen regardless. So says the Gemara, it seems to be a Mefurish Rabbi Yishmael. So why did Rabbi Elazar say like Rabbi Yishmael that it's going according to Rabbi Yishmael? Amalach lav itmer Allah, Amar Rava Bar Chanina. Rava Bar Chanina said, the Mechusarin Dicha de Kulam Aloi Pligi. Rava Bar Chanina qualified this halacha in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. He said that apparently there were three stages in which these foods were crushed. The first is called risuk, the second is called dicha, and the third is called shchika. So Rabbi Yochanan said, if it was mechusar in dicha, if you didn't do dicha yet, meaning all you did was risuk, everybody would agree that it's aser. Ki pligi be mechusar in shchika. The machlokes was, when you did risuk and dicha, you did the first two phases, you just didn't do the first third phase, you didn't do shchika. The hani nami, okay. So that machlokes Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva is talking about where you crushed it a lot. You did two-thirds of the crushing. So if there's three stages, you did stage one and stage two, you only didn't do stage three, it's over there. Bishmol's makel allows you to do stage three. But in our sugya, Vahani Nami, the Mishnah that's talking about the grapes where you're making wine and the oil from the olives, it's kimis chusar and dicha. That's similar to where you only did the first stage and you didn't do the second stage. And being that that's the case, no one says Rabbi Shmuel would say a zalocha there. Rabbi Shmuel said a zalocha where you did two out of the three phases, you just didn't do the third. Our Mishnah is the equivalent of where you did the first and you even didn't do the second. So there's no hechrich that Rabbi Shmuel would say a zalocha over there. Says the Gemara. Hoyre Rabbi Yosib, Rabbi Chanina, Ki Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, as an FYI, he passing like Rabbi Yishmael as it relates to that halacha. So the Gemara from here until the Mishnah is going to mention a few random halachas related to Shabbos. And the truth is, everything we're going to see now, it's mamash bullet points, one-liners, that are all very, very important. Dvarim ma'omdim berumay shal oylam mamash. But none of it is our sugya right now. It's actually a little bit unclear why the Gemara is even mentioning this all here. So we'll just go through it one by one. Shemen shel badadin, as it relates to the oil of the olive pressers. So apparently, the people that worked in the olive press, so one of the perks they got was that any oil that was trapped underneath the stone or in some of the corners, they were allowed to keep. It was for that reason it was known as the Shemen Shel Badadin. The Badadin were the actual pressers, the people that did the manual work. So they were allowed to keep the Shemen, Machzolei Shel Badadin, or the Machzolei, the mats that the Badadin used to use, the olive pressers used to use to cover the olives while they pressed it. So these things, what's the halacha? Rav Aser. Rav says it's Aser, meaning it's muktza. You're not allowed to be metaltal on Shabbos. Shmuel says it's not muktza. You're allowed to be metaltal on Shabbos. Hani karki de zuzi, the mats that we use to cover a ship's cargo. Rav Aser. Rav says it's muktza. Shmuel says it's mutter. I'm Rav Nachman. Another machloek. It's eiz lechalv. If someone has a goat, but he uses the goat to milk, that's the purpose of the goat. Rachel Gizasa, he has a sheep that he uses for wool. Tarnagelus beitzoisa, he has a hen that he keeps for eggs. Tairi loridio, he has oxen that he uses to plow. Tamri de Isko, he has dates that he does business with, not to eat. Rav also, Rav says it's muktzah. Shmuel amamuta, Shmuel says it's mutter. Says the Gemara, what's the machloikis? Rav in a bunch of cases just said aser, Shmuel in a bunch of cases said mutter. Yeah, muktzah, no muktzah. V'kamifudli v'plukta de Rav Yehuda v'Rav Shimon. We know that there's a machloikis throughout Masechtes, Shabbos, and Beya, and really Shas. Rav Yehuda was machmer a muktzah, Rav Shimon was mekel a muktzah. The Gemara in many places says Rav Shimon was less lay muktzah, which is really one of the great misnomers of all time, because Rav Shimon really holds of muktzah. In fact, we paskin like Rav Shimon, who's less lay muktzah, and obviously halacha l'maisa, there's something called hilchas muktzah. So when the Gemara says Rav Shimon was less lay muktzah, we'll see more about it when we get into the sugyas. It means Rav Shimon was mekel in muktzah, he had a koyach de'atera, and Rav Yehuda was machmer in muktzah, he had a koyach de'isura. So the Gemara says all these machloikis and that we just mentioned between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is really Beis Shammai. I'm sorry, between Rav and Shmuel, Rav was machmer like Rav Yehuda, was islay mukta, and Rav Shmuel was mekel like Rav Shimon, who was leslay mukta. Says the Gemara, Hutamuda da oiri becharta da argis, Rav Shimon, there was a Talmud who paskined in charta da argis, that was a place like Rav Shimon. Shamte Rav Amnuna put him in chair. Imagine, he paskined like Rav Shimon by Yechai, and he put him in chair. Freit the Gemara, Rav Shimon, Svirle, he held like Rav Shimon. So the Gemara says, because it was ba'asri de Rav Habo, because this was in the place where Rav was the Rav, and lo yibayilei lemevad hachi. It was inappropriate in Rav's city to go ahead and to paskin like Rav Shimon, who's essentially Shmuel Shita. Shmuel was the one that passed like Rav Shimon. Rav was the one that paskin like Rav Yehuda. So ba'asrei the Rav, you're paskinin like Shmuel. The Gemara felt that that was inappropriate. As Shamte Rav Hamnuna, Hani Trei Talmidi, there were two Talmidim. Chad Matzel b'chad Mono, and there was a Maisa Shaya Kachoy where there was a fire. Now, what happens if there's a fire in a house on Shabbos? So today the Ramah says you always assume it's Bekoach Nefesh. I'm not always, but often we'll assume it's Bekoach Nefesh and you do whatever you have to do. But in Medina de Gemara, a fire had a very strict Shulchan Aruch, emphasis on strict. Meaning it was a lot more complicated than you would think. You would think you save everything you can save. It's not the halacha. What is the halacha? Again, it's complicated. So the Gemara says a true story where there were two Talmidim. One was matzah b'chad mano. One took whatever he can take in one container and he left. V'chad matzah b'arba b'chomish mani. One took four or five containers. They come mifligi and they were arguing in another machloikis that we're not going to get to now. But plukta the rabbi bar zavdev Rav Huna. Rashi says, b'perik kol kisvei akoidish. So we'll wait for perik kol kisvei akoidish to get into this machloikis exhale. So just one ha'ara as it relates to today's daf. And that is, so we mentioned a lot of halachas. I mean, today's daf was loaded. A lot of halachas. One of them was a braisa that the Gemara brought in the middle of the Amid on daf Yotes Amid Aleph. Tanu Rabban. I'm just going to read it again. Ein mafligin besfina pachais migimul yamin koidim l'shabbos. You're not allowed to go on a boat within 3 days before Shabbos. And the Gemara didn't explain what the reason is. Meaning, why is it not okay to go on a boat within 3 days before Shabbos? And there's a big machloikis rishonim, how to understand Pashup Shan in this Gemara. Some rishonim say that it's related to the takanas chachamim that one is not allowed to swim on Shabbos. So you're not allowed to go swimming on Shabbos. You're not allowed to be on a raft on Shabbos. So included in that takana was you're not even allowed to be on a svina. You can't even be on a yacht. You can't even be on a proper boat on Shabbos. Other rishonim say that it's related to oinik Shabbos. If you're going to end up on a boat on Shabbos, then how are you going to have oinik Shabbos? How are you going to make kiddush? How are you going to light candles? How are you going to have lecha mishnah? How are you going to be the karasal of Shabbos oinik? How are you going to be in the right frame of mind where you can properly enjoy your Shabbos? And being that there's a mitzvah to be ba'oinig on Shabbos, you can't be on a boat on Shabbos, and you have to make sure that you don't even go on a boat within 3 days before Shabbos. Because if you go on a boat within 3 days before Shabbos, chances are you'll be there on Shabbos and you're going to miss out on oinig Shabbos. But there's one other pshat that the Baal Hamor, Rav Zrachya Halevi, brings here in the Mar HaKotan at the end of Perek Yetzias HaShabbos. And this is a pshat in the Gemara that explains the Gemara, but it's really a yesoid that's negeya Hilchas Shabbos. It's a yesoid that's negeya kol haTorah kula. And it's kedai to read the Baal Hamor inside, and then we'll talk a little bit about the Baal Hamor. So says the Baal Hamor that the Rishonim said different pshatim. Why is it ema fligim besfino pachas mishloisha yamim koidim haShabbos? He says veli nira tamacher. He says I have a different understanding. The kulu pshat in this halacha is mishum mokim sakonahu, because a boat is a mokim sakonah. If you're going to be on a boat, your life is going to be at risk. You're in a very, very dangerous place. And being that you're going to be in a dangerous place, you may find yourself in a situation where you're going to have no choice but to be mechal Shabbos. V'chol shloisha yomim koidim l'Shabbos, 3 days before Shabbos, kamei Shabbat mikri. It's considered already Erev Shabbos on some level. We're going to get back to this. And if that's the case, if you go on a boat Erev Shabbos, 3 days before Shabbos is Erev Shabbos, Nira, you know what it looks like? Kimasna litchos es haShabbos. It looks like you're going bekavana to be doicha Shabbos. Because if you're going to have no choice but to be mechal Shabbos, you will. So it looks like you're putting yourself in a situation when you're going to have no choice but to be mechal Shabbos. And that's something you're not allowed to do. You want to know the yesoid, the fundamental principle that underlies Ein Mafligim Besvina Pachas Megimul Yomim Lifnei HaShabbos. It's a person is not allowed to put himself in a situation where he may be forced to violate an Isser in the Torah. Even though if he were to violate this Isser in the Torah, he'd be doing what he's supposed to do, what he's mandated to do. Because there is nothing that's Oymei B'pnei B'Kuach Nefesh. But what gives you a right to put yourself in a situation where statistically speaking, there's a really good chance you may find yourself where you're going to have no choice but to be Mechal Chal Shabbos. That's not something you're allowed to do, says the Balamor. That's why the Chachamim said, Ein mafligin b'sfina pachas migimul yomim. And he says, by the way, if that's the case, I'll tell you another nafkimino. Hu adin lahafrish b'midbarais. You can't go into a midbar within 3 days before Shabbos. U'bechol mokim sakana sha'adam asid l'chalul b'yis ha-Shabbos. It's going to be awesome. Meaning, if the reason is because of Oynik Shabbos, so maybe in the midbar you will have Oynik Shabbos. If it's because of the Gzeri and Allah to swim on Shabbos, what does the midbar have to do with swimming? But if it's related to not putting yourself in a makom sakana, says the Baal Amar, there'd be another nafkamina. This halach is not exclusive to a boat at sea, but rather the point of the halacha is that a yid is not allowed to put himself in a situation where he may be forced to be mechal Shabbos or to violate any yis in the Torah. So with it 3 days before Shabbos, where it's considered already Erev Shabbos, it's Kami Shabbat or Mikri, for you to put yourself in a situation where you may have to do this, that's something that's going to be awesome. Now, it's interesting and important to know that this sheet of the Baal Amar is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It's brought down in Hilcha Shabbos. It's in Erech Chaim, Simin Reish Mem Ches, Sivkot and Dalet. The Mechaber says, Hayoitzim B'Shiyara B'Midbar. If someone's going with a caravan into the desert, Vakol Yoidim, everybody knows, Shem Tzrichim L'Chal Shabbos, Mipnei HaSakana, very often if a person's in the desert, he's with a caravan, he's going to find himself in a situation where he's going to have no choice but to be Mechal Shabbos. So the halacha is that you're not allowed to leave within 3 days before Shabbos. He says, you're not allowed to Ubi Yom Rishon, Ubi Sheni, Ubi Shlishi, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, meaning more than 3 days before Shabbos, Mutu Lotzeis, then already it's okay. Then you're allowed to do it. V'macha kachyer lo sakana, and if you're going to leave Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and you're going to find yourself in a situation where it's sakonas nefashes, of course you should be mechal Shabbos. You do what you have to do, ve'eir kalchil Shabbos, says the Mechaber. But at the same time, l'katchili, you're not supposed to leave within 3 days. V'oilol Eretz Yisrael, says the Mechaber, what if someone wants to go to Eretz Yisrael? He wants to make aliyah in this dam yoloi shiora afilu be'erev Shabbos. Then if he has an opportunity to leave, even if this opportunity presented itself before Shabbos, you should go. Because kiven de dvar mitzvah, being that it's a dvar mitzvah, yochel lifresh. Now, what does it mean to go to Eretz Yisrael? So the Magen Avraham has two pshatim. First, he says, v'dafka al das lis yashiv, only if you're making aliyah. You're actually going to Eretz Yisrael because you want to settle in Eretz Yisrael. V'yesha imim, he says, some say, afilu amanas lahachzer. Even if you plan on coming back, kivan da afilu mahalich dalet ames be'eretz Yisrael mitzvah. It's a Magen Avraham in Hilchas Shabbos in Simen Reish Mem Ches. Talked away. Says the Magen Avraham that even if you're not going to stay, you're going to come back. But if somebody walks Dalan Amis in Eretz Yisrael, it's so chashuv, that's considered a Dvar Mitzvah. And if that's considered a Dvar Mitzvah, you're allowed to go with the Shiara. If the next flight, the next ride leaves on Erev Shabbos, then that's something you're allowed to do. Then the Ramah says that as it relates to Dvar Mitzvah, Dvar Rishos, he has a much more lenient definition. He says, Yesh Oimrim, Shekol Makim Sha'adam Hoylech L'Schoira, that even if you're going for Schoira, to do business, or Lireis Pnei Chaver, or even to meet somebody, Chashav HaKol Dvar Mitzvah, even that's considered Dvar Mitzvah. Ve'enei Chashav Dvar Rishos, Rakisho Hoylech L'Tayel, unless you're going just on a vacation, you're going to Shpatzir, Valkein Nogu B'Ktas, and says, Rama, that's why I've seen that the meaning of many places is that they're very makel when it comes to these halachas. They treat everything as a dvar mitzvah. The in limchais biyadim says, Rama, you shouldn't protest. Because at the end of the day, they have who to be soimachan. Bottom line is, the mechaber and the Rama bring this halacha, and that is that a person within 3 days before Shabbos is not allowed to go into the desert together with a caravan, unless it's a Dvar Mitzvah. What's the Makar? The Makar is the Baal Amar that we just mentioned. It's the Baal Amar that said that the halacha of Ein Mafligin B'Sfina Pachas Migimul Yomen is not unique to a Sfina. It's not related to the Gzeira of swimming. It's not related to Oynik Shabbos. It's related to this idea. You can't put yourself in a situation where you may have to be Mechal Shabbos within 3 days before Shabbos. And he said, L'may Nafkamina, it's not exclusive to a Sfina. The same would be true regarding a desert. Bottom line is, the Mechaber brings this halacha, mentions the caveat that it's only true if it's Dvar Rishus, not if it's Dvar Mitzvah. What's the Makar to that? It's also the Gemara. The Gemara said that, the Hanimil, Dvar Rishus. But if it's a Dvar Mitzvah, that this halacha is not going to be Nogeya. The Shach, in the hand of Hilchas Milo, in Yoredeya Simen Reish Samach Vav, brings a well-known chiddush from the Tashbetz. The Tashbetz said as follows. You have a child that for whatever reason, the Moyel was not comfortable doing a Mila B'Zmanai. child wasn't well, they pushed off the bris milah, and they have to do a milah shaloi bezmane. The moel came Wednesday night to inspect the baby, and he said, tomorrow morning I'm ready to do the bris milah. Meaning we could do the bris milah on Thursday. Says the Tashbitz, you're not allowed to do the bris milah on Thursday. You can't do it on Thursday. You're going to have to push it off. Milah shaloi bezmane, you can't do on Thursday. Now we know milah shaloi bezmane is not toicha Shabbos. Milah bezmane is toicha Shabbos. Milah shaloi bezmane is not toicha Shabbos. However, says the Tashbitz, not only don't you do a milah shaloi bezmane on Shabbos, you don't do a milah shaloi bezmane on Thursday either. Why? So he says it's based on this Baal Hamar. Because the Baal Hamar taught us a tremendous yesod. He said a person is not allowed to put himself lekatchila in a situation where he's going to be forced to violate an Isser in the Torah, even if he's going to violate a Mishum Pikuach Nefesh. He says, we know that a katan, a child that has a bris milah, on the third day of its milah, is considered a chayla sheyesh by sakana. Chayla sheyesh by sakana with mechalel Shabbos. So said the Tashbitz, if you're going to do the milah shleib ismani on Thursday is day one, Friday is day two, Shabbos is going to be day three. It's going to come out that the shlishi l'milah is going to be on Shabbos. It's very likely, says the Tashbitz, that you're going to be forced to be mechalel Shabbos for this baby. If you're going to be mechalel Shabbos for this baby, you put yourself 3 days before Shabbos into a situation where you have to be mechalel Shabbos. Now you're doing it for pikuach nefesh, but in the Baal Hamar's case, you're also doing it for pikuach nefesh. And he didn't care. He said it's also to go ahead and put yourself into this situation. So says the Tashbitz, I want to say a chiddush la'alocha. You don't do milah shaloi bezmanei on Thursdays. Says the Shach, Rabbeinu Shalom, I don't understand the Tashbitz. He asks a bunch of kashas. But first, he tells the Tashbitz, I hope the Tashbitz understands the implications of what he just said. Why? Because there's a big machlokes rishonim. When we say that a katan's considered a chayla sheyesh by sakana on the third day of bris milah, is it only on the third day? Or is it considered in a matzah of sakana on the second day and on the first day as well? It's machlokes rishonim. Most rishonim hold the third day is lav dafka. It's the first 3 days. After the third day, it starts easing up. But it's not the third day dafka. It's true for the second day, and it's true for the first. And maybe the third day is the worst. But the child has a din of a chayla sheyesh by sakana on all 3 days. If that's the case, says the Shach, it's going to come out like the Tashbitz. Not only can't you do the bris milah on Thursday, you can't do it on Friday either. You can't do it on Shabbos. You're going to have to push it off until Sunday. You're literally pushing it off to make a weekend bris. There's no way, says the Shach. It's not possible. You can't push off a bris milah, even a milah shaloi bezmanei 3 days. Says the Shach, I can't be soivel that. That's number one. He says, but va'oid, it doesn't stem with the Gemara. Because the Gemara, the makar to the Baal Hamar's halacha was ein mafligin. You're not let it go on a boat 3 days before Shabbos. But the Gemara said, v'hani milah lidvar rishos. Aval lidvar mitzvah. It's mutter. And we saw what Dvar Mitzvah means. To go to Eretz Yisrael, even to walk Dalan Amos in Eretz Yisrael, says the Magen Avraham. The Ramah said maybe even to go for Schoira. Like Kabul Pnei Chaveri, that's the Minig Yisrael. So even if the Tashbitz didn't learn that way. But the Gemara says Dvar Mitzvah. You're going to tell me Milah Shaloi Bezmanei is not a mitzvah. So if Milah Shaloi Bezmanei is a mitzvah, Freik the Shach, I don't understand the Tashbitz. And the truth is, Mishabur brings this Tashbitz. This is something that's brought down by all the poskim. But the Shach says that to me, this is Sisrei Torah. It's interesting, Rabbi Yaakov Emden has a tshuva in Shelos Yaivis. We're not going to get into this now, where he talks about this Tashbitz and it's in Chelik Beis Simin Tzadikei, if you want to see it inside. But the point is that this is the famous chiddush of the Tashbitz that the Shach brings in the end of Hilchas Milah in Simin Reish Samech Vav. I'm going to tell you something fascinating. And that is, there's a discussion in the Achroinim whether this halacha of the Baal Hamar, 3 days before Shabbos, you're not allowed to go on a boat. According to the Tashbitz, you can't even do a milah shaloi bezmanei, and you can't go with a caravan in the desert. Within 3 days before Shabbos, you have to start thinking about Shabbos, and you can't do something that may force you to be mechal Shabbos, even if the chil Shabbos is going to be in a way where it's hutra, where it's really something that you're allowed to do. Is this exclusive to Shabbos, or is this true for Yontif as well? What about 3 days before Yontif? According to the Tashbitz, could you do a milah shaloi bezmanei 3 days before Yontif? Is it dafka Shabbos or also Yontif? So you're going to tell me, what's the difference? You're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos. You're not allowed to be mechal Yontif. Melach on Shabbos is in Nisa Dei Raisa. Melach on Yontif is in Nisa Dei Raisa. Of course, Shabbos is more chomer than Yontif. Shabbos is a loisa se sheyesh by Karis, Mises Bezdin. Yontif is only a regular loisa se, maybe a loisa se vase. But at the end of the day, it's in Nisa Dei Raisa. So why should I be allowed 3 days before Yontif to put myself into a situation where maybe I'm going to be forced, Mishum Pekuach Nefesh, to be Mechal Yontif? But the basis to the Shaila is really predicated on Lashoyne Yazov Shal HaBal Hamar. The Baal Hamar's Lashon was like this. We read it already, but just read one line again. V'li nireta macher. Baal Hamar says, I see a different reason why you're not allowed to go on a boat within 3 days before Shabbos. You know what the reason is? The kulu makam sakonahu. Because a boat is a makam sakono. The chol shloisha yomim koidim l'Shabbos. And 3 days before Shabbos, kame shabbat mikri, is considered before Shabbos. The Baal Hamar didn't just say that the reason I'm not allowed to do it is because maybe I'll be on the boat on Shabbos. And what happens if I find myself in a matzav of sakono? It's going to be pekuach nefesh. I just put myself in a situation where mishu pekuach nefesh, I have to be mechal Shabbos. The Baal Hamar added a major piece here. The Baal Hamar said it's because we're dealing with Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's 3 days before Shabbos. It's Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, I have to think about Shabbos. And if I have to think about Shabbos, I can't put myself in a situation where I may end up being Mechal Shabbos. In other words, why is this halacha only true Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? Why not Sunday, Monday, Tuesday? So you're going to tell me, I don't know, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I'm not going to be on the boat. What if I know I am going to be on the boat? What if I'm going on the boat for a month? So what's the difference if I left Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, or if I left Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? This is the teretz. The teretz is because this is a halacha in Hilchas Erev Shabbos. We're learning Erev Shabbos halachas here in Perek Yetzias HaShabbos. We're learning about what I'm not allowed to do before Shabbos. Before Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, I have to think about Shabbos. You know when Erev Shabbos starts? It starts Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That's when Erev Shabbos starts. Sunday, I don't have to think about Shabbos. I'm allowed to go on a boat. So if I'm allowed to go on a boat, it's going to happen that I'll be there Shabbos. So you're going to hope for the best. And if you have to be Mechal Shabbos, maybe Koach Nefesh, you'll be Mechal Shabbos. The side of this halacha is that it's Erev Shabbos Kodesh. Erev Shabbos Kodesh, I have to be concerned. If that's the case, Yesh Lachkar, Erev Shabbos starts on Wednesday. What about Erev Yontif? Erev Yontif also starts 3 days earlier, or does it not start 3 days earlier? So there's an epic tzushtel to this halacha. And that is a Gemara in Mesechtes Psachim. In Perik Arve Psachim, Daf Kuv Vav Amin Aleph, the Gemara over there discusses as follows. Amri B'nei Reb Chiya. The B'nei Reb Chiya said, Mishlei Hivdo B'Motzai Shabbos. If somebody didn't make Avdallah on Matzah Shabbos, you forgot. You didn't make Avdallah on Matzah Shabbos. Mavdo V'Hoylich B'Chal Shabbos Kulay. You can make Avdallah the whole week. Says, well, really, the whole week? The Ad Kama? Really? Up until what day of the week? I'm Reb Zeira. Reb Zeira said, Ad Revi B'Shabbos. Until Wednesday. Meaning until Tuesday night. Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday? You could still make Havdalah. Says the Gemara, what's the makar to this? Gehadi Yosef Reb Zeira Kameh Reb Asi. Reb Zeira was once sitting in front of Reb Asi. V'amri lo some said Reb Asi Kameh Reb Yoichel. V'yosef v'kamar. And they said as follows. L'inyin Gittin, as it relates to Gittin, this is also Gemara Perek Misha Achzei Masechtes Gittin. A man gives his wife a get and makes a tanai. The tanai is, hareza gitech almanas, that you're going to do something before Shabbos, or almanas, you're going to do something after Shabbos. And Allah is like this. If he said, Almanas, that you do it after Shabbos, Chodah b'Shabbato, Treyu Shlosso, that you know what that means, it's Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, that's considered after Shabbos. If he said, do it for me before Shabbos, Arba v'chamsho maluyoy mekame Shabbato, before Shabbos means Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So says the Gemara, you see le'inyin gittin, when it comes to a get, hilchis tenoim. What's the definition of before Shabbos? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. What's the definition of after Shabbos? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Okay, says the Gemara, a wild tzushtel. When do you make Havdalah? After Shabbos. Oh, you make Havdalah after Shabbos? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday is considered after Shabbos. Where do you see it's considered after Shabbos? When you get it. So if you see it's considered after Shabbos, when you get it. So halacha l'maisa, says the Gemara. It's a Gemara in Perek Harvei Psachim. Until Wednesday, based on that halacha in Hilchas Gittin. Now, this halacha is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It's brought down in Hilchas Shabbos. Everybody knows this halacha. It's in Simen Reish Tzadik Tes. The Mechaber says, Shochach v'lo yihivdo. If somebody forgot it, he didn't make Avdol b'moitzoy Shabbos. Mavdol at soif yoim gimel. You can make Avdol until Tuesday. The Yeshayim, some say, She'enei Mavdel el kol yom rishiv lo yoyse. Then no. There are others, it's based on a different gerus in the Gemara, that you could only make Havdalah Sunday. You can't make it through Tuesday. Now, why Sunday? So the Rishonim explained, the reason Sunday is because Sunday is still considered Matzah Shabbos. The day always follows the night. So if you make Avdalah Matzah Shabbos, you can make Avdalah Sunday as well, because it's all one and the same. Either way, 2 days in Shulchan Aruch, based on the right gears in the Gemara in Perek Arvi Psachim. But the bottom line is, there's a day in Shulchan Aruch. It's the first day, which the Ramah says is the main day for Ikur Kesvaru HaRishonah. That's Halacha L'Maisa. Then Shachach V'Lehivdo. By the way, there's a Shaila. Is it only Shachach? Is it only if you forgot to make Avdalah? What if you b'mezid didn't make Avdalah? So there's a tshuva for Rav Shlomo HaKoyim Mivilna in the Binyan Shlomo, it's a Chelik Beis Simichov. He's mesupik. He has a beautiful arichos. What's the crux of the question? When you can make Avdalah on Monday or on Tuesday, is it tashlumin on the Avdalah that you didn't make Matzah Shabbos? Or maybe that's the Iker Din Avdalah. You can make it from Matzah Shabbos, preferably Zriza Makdim Mitzvahs, up until Tuesday night. If it works, Midin Tashlumin, Tashlumin only works for something you... If you got to daven Mincha, you can daven two Myers. But if you just weren't in the mood of davening Mincha, then you can't daven two Myers. Tashlumin only works if you were Shikcha. If there was no Shikcha, then Tashlumin doesn't work. Either way, that's Reb Shlomo HaKoyim and Shaila. But regardless, that's the Halacha in Shulchan Aruch. That if somebody didn't make Havdalah Matzah Shabbos, he can make until Tuesday. Claire's Reb Kiva Eger. What about Yontif? Maitzah Yantif, you didn't make Havdalah Maitzah Yantif. Could you make Havdalah for another 3 days or not? Says Reb Kiveger in his Agoyis to Shulchan Aruch. He says, Avol b'maitzah Yantif, ein lay tashlumen. Kach kosev b'soif sefer loshen chachamim, shemeyit shekein heskimu rabbonei chachmei prag. He said he saw in the sefer called loshen chachamim, who brought in the name of the chachmei prag, that the chachmei prag said that the halacha of this Shulchan Aruch that says that you can make Havdalah for 3 days after Shabbos only said regarding Shabbos. It wasn't said regarding Yontif. Said the Chachmei Prague, what's the Svara? Why? Why only Shabbos? Why? What's the difference? If I have 3 days for Shabbos, shouldn't I have 3 days for Yontif? Said the Chachmei Prague, said the Pshat's like this. It's not a buffer when we say you get 3 days. What's the Svara? Why do you get 3 days? The Gemara said, because the 3 days after Shabbos is called after Shabbos. Just like the 3 days before Shabbos is called Erev Shabbos. Meaning, Erev, the whole week is Shabbos. The ganze Woche dreitzach Erev Shabbos. You have Shabbos, you have 3 days of Erev Shabbos, and you have 3 days of Matzahi Shabbos. But that's only true in Shabbos, it's not true in Yontif. In fact, the Zohar HaKadosh says that it's not just Halacha L'inyan Gittin and L'inyan Avdalah, it's true on a Kedusha level as well. On some level, Kedusha Shabbos continues Sunday morning. That's why you can make Avdalah Tuesday night. Because you're being Mavdol, being Kedusha Shabbos, like Kedusha Shabbos. What do you mean? So you went from Shabbos, that how are you making me Mavdol now? On some level, there's still Kedusha Shabbos. So the Oiroi of Erev Shabbos is Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Of Mitzoy Shabbos is Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. But that's only Shabbos. By Yontif, you don't have it. If you don't have the By Yontif. So By Yontif says, Reb Kivedra in the name of the Chachmei Prague, you wouldn't be able to make Havdalah Tuesday night. So what would be the halacha if you didn't make Havdalah? He says, you'd be able to be Mavdol the whole Isru Chag. Because at the end of the day, it's like Gara from the other Shita. The other Shita that holds you don't have 3 days to be Mavdol and Mitzoy Shabbos. So what does he hold? You have 1 day. Why 1 day? Because the day follows the night. So the day follows the night. That's far you have for Yontif, just like you have for Shabbos. But as it relates to 3 days, 3 days is a Svar in Shabbos. It's not a 3 day, it's not a Svar in Yontif. If that's the case, say the Achroinim, half love a fella. Just like Rabbi Kivega brought from the Chachmei Prague, that you can't make Havdalah Tuesday after Yontif, or 3 days after Yontif. What's the reason? Because the whole reason you could be Mavdol 3 days after Shabbos is based on the fact that at the 3 days after Shabbos is called Noch Shabbos. So if the 3 days after Shabbos is called Noch Shabbos, it's called Meitzoy Shabbos, that's the reason it could be Mavdol, and that's a Svar in Shabbos. That's not a Svar in Yontif. If that's the case, as it relates to Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif, it's the same thing. It's only the 3 days before Shabbos that are called Erev Shabbos. But the 3 days before Yontif are not called Erev Yontif. If they're not called Erev Yontif, there'd be no issa to go on a boat. If it's not called before Yontif, there'd be no issa to go in a shiur in a midbar. If they're not called Erev Yontif, then there'd be no reason, according to the Tajbis, you shouldn't be able to do a Milah Shalei Bizmani. Why did the Tajbis say you can't do a Milah Shalei Bizmani on Thursday? It's Chazer one more time. It's based on the Baal Amar. The Baal Amar said that 3 days before Shabbos, you're achroi on Shabbos. He quoted a Gemara. What did the Gemara say? The Gemara said, "Dechol shloisha yomim kaidim l'Shabbos kamin Shabbat amikri." What's the Gemara? Now we know the rest of the story. It's this Gemara right here. Psochem kuv. The Gemara that says the Chiddush you can make Avdalah 3 days after Shabbos. It's all based on the fact that 3 days before is Erev Shabbos. That's only in Shabbos. But the 3 days before Shabbos is not Erev, is Erev Shabbos, but it's not Erev Yontif. How do you know the 3 days before Yontif is not Erev Yontif? Because the 3 days after Yontif are not Erev Yontif. How do you know the 3 days after Yontif is not Erev Yontif? How do you know that? Because you see, you can't make Havdalah for 3 days after Yontif. The Chachmei Prague said it's only after Shabbos. So just like the 3 days after Yontif are not called Yontif, L'may Nafkamini, you can't make Havdalah 3 days after Yontif. The 3 days before Yontif is not Erev Yontif. If the 3 days before Yontif is not Erev Yontif, you don't have the Tashbitz's halacha. So from the Erev Kiveger, tucked away in Hilchah Shabbos Rage, Tzadik Tes in the name of the Chachmei Prague, we were able to be Machriya, this Shiloh, whether the Tashbitz's halacha would be Negeya on Shabbos only, or whether it would be negay on Yom Tov as well. Just to end with one short vart, and that is, so we're coming out, based on this Reb Kiveger, that it's only on Shabbos that you have the Balamar. It's only on Shabbos that you have the Tashmitz. But on Yom Tov, you're not going to have it. The Pasuk says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu to do Bris Milah, so the Pasuk says Avram Avinu did Milah. And when did he do it? He did it Be'etzem HaYoy Mazeh. He did it immediately. Vayikach Avram Es Yishmol B'noi Ves Kol Yulidei Beisoy Ves Kol Miknas Kaspe Kol Zohar B'an Shebeis Avram Vayyomel Es Psar Arlasam. When did he do it? And Rashi says it was a tremendous gvura on the part of Avram Avinu. He did it that day. Not only that, he did it during the day and not at night. Why was that a chiddush? Why would he have waited until the nighttime? Because he was, and the chiddush was he wasn't afraid. Avram Avinu had many reasons to do a covert mission, to do this when nobody was looking, to do this at night. But Avram Avinu didn't do it at night. He did it during the day. The question is why? If Avram Avinu had a good reason to do it at night, it was probably a good reason. So then why didn't he do it at night? Why did he do it during the day? And there's many different shatim that the Mefarshim give. Said the Haflah, the Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer, in a safer part of my office, I'm going to tell you a pshat. I'm going to tell you a pshat based on Chazal. Chazal say that when the Malachim came to visit Avram Avinu, it was Erev Pesach. So there's different midrashim when exactly it happened, but there are many Chazal that say that it happened on Erev Pesach. We know that they came to visit Avram because Avram was sick. Why was he sick? He had just done Bris Milah. What day was it? It was the Shlishi L'Milah. So it says the part of my office, if Erev Pesach was Shlishi L'Milah, what would have happened had Avram Avinu pushed off the Bris Milah to at night? What would have been had he done it when nobody was looking? Not that day, Boy B'Yom Shenet Stava. He would have pushed it off till at night. It would come out that the Shlishi L'Milah would have been on Yom Tov. If the Shlishi L'Milah would have been on Yom Tov, he would have put himself in a situation where he may be forced, Mishum Pikuach Nefesh, to be Mechalo Yom Tov. Says the Panim Yafas, I'll read it to you inside. Umizes Siyata, I think this is a Raya L'Masha Kozav Abis Yosef Ebed Gabayas. Simen Reish Samaches B'Shem HaTashbit. The Milah Shaloi Bezmano Oso Lobo B'Yom He. Shaloi Yovel L'Dei Chil Shabbos. The reason he didn't push it off at night is because then he would have been a Milah Shaloi Bezmano 3 days before Yom Tov. And you can't do it 3 days before Yom Tov. And he says, if that's the case, not only is this a raya to the Tashbitz, but it's a raya that hua din Yom Tov. That the Tashbitz is chiddush is not only a chiddush for Shabbos, but the Tashbitz is chiddush is a chiddush for Yom Tov as well. Because here we're dealing with Pesach, it wasn't Shabbos, it was Pesach. So you see that the Tashbitz is halacha that's true for Yom Tov as well.